This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Amy, I guess, has the situation, if we could say that it improved, I guess the first question would be, how much?
Well, it has improved in that the airspace over the UK is open, airports throughout the UK are open, and flights have been operating both long-haul and short-haul, so that's the good news. The bad news is this is a very slow, phased resumption of flights. So people who are heading to the airport thinking that if they have a flight in or out of London or even connecting through here are going to be fine, that may not necessarily be the case. The departures and arrivals boards still indicate quite a few canceled flights, and it's very hard to say what the rhyme or reason is here. None of the airlines seem to have a clear plan for why they're allowing certain flights to go ahead, why they're holding back others, or why some passengers are getting out sooner than others.
Yeah, we're talking with Amy Gutton of our colleagues at CBS News. She's in London talking about the Icelandic volcano, which is still of adversely affected travel. What are passengers saying, Amy? Clearly they're frustrated. And maybe they had a fair opinion of the airline's efficiency before, but has that just been, you know, the glass ceiling broken as far as people's confidence in the airline's ability to handle a crisis?
It really has. Customers have actually been very rational about this whole thing. Everyone that I spoke to has agreed. They said, look, you know, no one is to blame here. This is an act of nature. There's no controlling it. There's no one you can point a finger at. But what they do say is that the airline's response, and in fact the government's response, is really less than. The dissemination of communication to airline travelers has been horrific. There's been very little information given out. Passengers who are stuck at the airport, and you know the airport's a pretty obvious place you'd expect to find ground airline staff to answer these sorts of questions, have blatantly turned these passengers away and told them to go pay for internet access at about $1.50 for 10 minutes or get on a long distance phone call and wait in a long line of other people on hold to get information about their flights. And that's, they're saying, unreasonable.
Unbelievable. We're talking with Amy Gutton of CBS News, kind enough to join us from London, as air traffic over the UK has begun to resume to a degree. So at this point, Amy, do we have any estimates about still how many people with this grinding kind of process of getting this, because this has implications, obviously, for the United States, for all importing and exporting of goods, intercontinental commerce, all that kind of stuff. Do we know, where we are at this hour as far as being close to the norm, I guess, for lack of a better term?
This is far from the norm.
Yeah, okay.
You know, what we're hearing is that this could take a minimum of 10 days, a maximum of several weeks.
Wow.
Return to the norm. But it's, you know, it's also a very difficult thing to quantify, because at this point, I spoke to a passenger who had just arrived on a United Airlines flight from Washington, and he said he was expecting absolute chaos and for a completely packed flight, which is what anyone would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he turned up at the airport. There were tons of people waiting to travel on his flight standby. Most of those people were denied passage on his flight, and yet he says that the flight he traveled on was only two-thirds full.
What?
So he's puzzled, and he's saying, you know, what's going on here, and who's in charge? Why is there so much chaos and confusion, and how are these people going to get transported? Meantime, of course, you've got lots of people who have already decided to take trains and buses and boats, who are just abandoning the flights altogether.
Yeah. Has anybody begun to prognosticate at all? Amy Gutton with CBS News is live in London, about the economic impact, not on trade and all that stuff, but on the airlines themselves. I mean, do some people view this as potentially, anyone who's there on the ground or with the body that governs airline travel in the UK, think that this could have, if not a crippling effect, a significant detrimental impact on the airline industry in Europe?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, the owners of many of these airlines have been complaining to the government for days. And that was actually what prompted the flights to resume last night, is the airlines finally got fed up and said, look, we've done our own test flights. We're all losing approximately $200 million every day that we can't fly. They had all done their own test flights and found that everything was fine. And so, in fact, the government did resume the flights last night based on that largely. But yeah, it's $200 million a day. Smaller airline carriers are saying that they could well go under because of this. Add to that, you know, we're still in the middle of a recession here. So this is going to have huge effects, and I don't think we're going to necessarily see the full effects for quite some time.
Mm, wow. Amy Gutton of CBS News has been kind enough to join us in London about this whole travel debacle there with the volcanic ash. I guess finally, Amy, is there an equivalent body of governance for the airlines? Like, we have the FAA here in the United States. For listeners and for folks who live in the continental United States to kind of wrap their brain around this, is there a governing body that regulates the industry in the UK?
Yes, there is, and it's called NATS. And in fact, that's exactly what has gone on here. Bodies similar to the FAA and the NTSB have been involved in determining the safety. And the problem is that there's been basically a difference in opinion between what the UK's version of the FAA/NTSB believes and basically what the airline pilots believe and technicians and engineers believe to be safe. And then, of course, the scientists have weighed in independently. So the problem is that, you know, on one side you've got commercial interests, on another side you've got government interests, because another important thing to remember here is that we're in the run-up to a prime ministerial election here.
Mm-hmm.
So this government does not want to be seen as playing fast and loose and dangerous with the public interest and the public safety. But interestingly, members of the public have come out and said, look, you're erring on the side of caution. Get us home, and we'll give us your vote. It will give you our vote.
Wow. It's gotten crazy over there, that's for sure. And it sounds like one of those issues of too many chiefs and not enough Indians when it comes to regulating. But, hey, Amy, it's a pleasure. Thank you for the very valuable information for folks to be able to follow it here in the continental United States. And, hey, as we always say when we talk to folks around the world, thanks for your time and keep your head down.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day. We appreciate it. All right, that's Amy Gutton of CBS News.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.